News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Hey, y'all. Friday morning, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. It's 6 minutes after 8 o'clock. There's a few ways you can be part of the show. You can call us. Like, we had that one guy called yesterday. We had him on hold for 12 minutes and ignored him. That was my fault there. Generally, we'll get right on it and talk to you.
Well, way to encourage people to call in there, Dan.
I'm admitting my mistake. I mean, the first thing you've got to do is own something, okay? So yesterday, and there was two of us in here, by the way.
Yeah.
So maybe both of us were guilty a little bit of
it. Wow. Okay. Now you're throwing me under the bus. I appreciate that. Well,
so if you call between all three of us here, you know,
we'll get you on the air.
Yeah, we'll get you on the air.
And it is a Friday, so we can do, you know, we can talk about anything you'd like to talk about. We didn't really get into it yesterday, that Mardi Gras petition to basically more closely regulate what goes on the floats and what can be possibly thrown or fall off of those floats.
There were a lot of texts yesterday saying that things can be aggressive sometimes, and it's not cool.
Yeah, it wasn't necessarily one-sided. The response to the state, there were a lot of people who gave us their own stories of getting hit in the head and other parts by different things flying off of these floats, but also a lot of people who say, listen, you know what you're signing up for when you go out to Mardi Gras.
Right.
Backstrap earlier, he said, 72 people have signed the petition. If you stop talking about it, poof, it goes away. And I think there were 56 that had signed it as of yesterday morning when
it's
I was looking.
Losing momentum, huh?
A little bit of loss of momentum. I'm not sure what the number. We're in like a weird age for petitions, right? You have these websites that firstchange.org is probably the most notable one.
And that's where this one is, right?
No, this one is like on ipetition.com or something like that.
Okay.
It's this person who ended up putting this out there. It doesn't look like they're getting a whole lot of
support
for the bill to change his petition to change the way things happen during Mardi Gras. And
I wonder, in the history of Mardi Gras, this would have been good for Moon Pie Minute, I guess. Have there been regulations that have been set up because of behavior on the floats?
Oh, I'm sure there has. And I know each of these organizations, you know, there are a lot of people who know a lot more about how these things are run than I. I'm sure they've had instances in the past that, you know, they're very strict in a lot of different situations for what the members can do or can't do and what's allowed on the float or not allowed on the float. You never want to see people get hit indiscriminately and injured, right? You never want to see that, especially when it's a child. But also, I think some people think that these throwers are doing it intentionally, and I don't always think that's most of the time I don't think that's the case either. But you do go to the parade, and you'll see every now and then someone absolutely, you know, give it their best Brett Favre impersonation there and just let one rip into the crowd, and that could be a little dangerous. But the petition, I don't really. It just seemed more kind of
frivolous.
Yeah, that's a better word than whiny, which is what I was going to say.
Whiny and frivolous.
Whiny and frivolous.
Want to go to the phones?
Yeah, let's
go ahead. Somebody that doesn't want to be on hold too long. It's Scott, and Scott joins us this morning. Hey, Scott.
Good morning. How are y'all this morning?
We are doing great.
What do you have for us?
Hey, I know there's a lot of bad things being talked about in the city of Pritchard, but there's a lot of good things happening over there also. You know, there's sidewalks going in, roads are being paved, buildings are being renovated. The fire department has just received a brand new fire truck. You know, city facilities are being cleaned up. Roadways are being cleaned up. So there is a lot of good things happening in the city of Pritchard that
new
overlooked.
Yeah. New high school stadium's supposed to go in there soon,
Viger,
I guess,
right?
For Viger.
The premier stadium of Mobile.
And how about
$5 million for that stadium?
Scott, also, there's now
the
momentum.
City of Pritchard.
Momentum for Africa Town. What's going on there as well with the Clotilda?
Yeah,
and that turning it into kind of a tour spot.
I really hope that they're able to make things right, I guess, as best they can for the people who have been screwed over by the water board over the years. Because, I mean, the rates, we've talked about, those rates have been higher than the average water rate in other places for years. But this story is still huge. You know, I know there's been many instances of fraud over the years, but this one takes the cake. And I know that the mayor of Pritchard, Gardner, said that he would hold some public forums so that people can have their voices heard, because they haven't had the chance. You know, they were supposed to hold the first water board meeting last week, and they were only going to allow 10 speakers in there.
Yeah.
And that ended up not happening because of the raid on, I guess, Bradley's house, Nia Bradley's house.
But yeah.
I hate it for the people who completely got ran over with some of those water bills.
And I'm glad to hear about the improvements, Scott. I appreciate the call this morning. And, yeah, I mean, Pritchard needs help. They need some support, and they need some good things to happen there. And you're pointing some of those out. So good for you. We're glad to hear it, man.
Yes, sir. You'll have a great weekend.
Yes,
sir. Thanks for what you do.
You got it. Yes, sir. Well, I'm involved with the Light of the Village, which is a mission inside Pritchard, but it's a good thing in Pritchard for sure, but it's in a pretty rundown, dangerous neighborhood in Alabama Village. It has over time become that, but that is a lot of good right there that goes on there, and those kids are taken care of, and after school programs and things like that, they don't pay a dime. They don't pay a dime for all the services, including the ministry side of things. We've got a big event coming up later this month, near the end of the month, where we will be. It's kind of our annual event, and we didn't have it last year. Of course, nobody had anything. Anyway,
well, COVID's over now, Dan.
It is over, according to any goldfish that you talk to.
Yeah.
So we'll tell you more about that, and we'll have John Eads on to talk about that program. And a lot of you are familiar with the event we have every year, so we're going to do it again. I think it's going to be out at the grounds.
I got a text here regarding Mardi Gras throws, and I'll leave this texter unnamed, although they probably wouldn't mind. But kind of a Batman situation here, doing good on behalf of others. So this texter says, when I used to ride, if I saw an adult snatching things from the hands of a child who caught it, I absolutely did target your head with a knotted up ball of large beads. It says, I wasn't the only rider that would. If you got pointed out, you would have hell rain down on you.
Wow.
There are, you know, some of the people out, like
Mardi Gras vigilantes.
Yeah. I guess Robin Hood's on the float. And, if you know, it's almost like some of these baseball games when a foul ball goes into the crowd and there's a little kid right next to it, and then some fatso with a beer in his hand like snatches it away. You're like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, you're a grown man.
Yeah,
give it to the kid.
Lost in the moment, don't realize, and it gets caught, and it's played on SportsCenter all day long.
Yeah,
and then the guy's shamed into moving out of town.
Yeah, exactly. So it's good to know that you're out there on the floats like that, watching those. Watching out for those kids who are having stuff stolen from them. Dan says, you know, all is fair after not having Mardi Gras last year. He said some of these throwers do it on purpose more than you think, as far as throwing throws hard at people. But he said after a year without Mardi Gras, anyone complaining can, well, he basically says you can shut it, because everyone was so ready for Mardi Gras this year. Let's see. Lots of texts that we've got to get to here. The cruise ship that's docked again, Carnival Ecstasy. That's a big question that's going to come up, I believe, in this next city council meeting.
Yeah, that was one of the first year councilmen.
Scott Jones.
Brought that up. Yeah.
Bringing it up. So the cruise ship, and a texter said Carnival is decommissioning one or two of those ships. Maybe the 11 months has something to do with that. Yeah, so the Ecstasy, which is currently docked in the port, and will be setting sail tomorrow for, I guess, Cozumel. We never figured out exactly. I think it is Cozumel that they're headed to. So they will sail ships to and from Ecstasy to and from Mobile until October, and then an 11-month pause in any cruises coming from the city. And while Mayor Sandy Stimson seems pretty confident that they will return after those 11 months, Carnival says they kind of have to readjust, reset, and you're exactly right, Texter. They are, I believe, decommissioning one, definitely the Ecstasy, maybe another ship. But they say they have plans for Mobile. But at the same time,
you got an 11-month stretch there where, you know, will they be doing, you know, I know in the past when the cruisers left, we did receptions and community events.
And COVID, you know, it became a testing place, and I think they even did vaccinations there. But if it's not going to be used for its purpose for 11 months, and we still owe, you know, a pretty large annual fee for the terminal there, Scott Jones is wondering, the councilman saying, you know, how much money should we put into the terminal if it's not going to be used for its purpose for 11 months? I think that's a pretty good question.
Yeah, I think it is a very good question. I think this this new group that were elected to council, pretty active group.
They are.
Not just sitting back doing nothing, for sure. 816 FM Talk 106.5 with Dan and Dalton. Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. Got to get back to Kay Ivey talking smack on Putin. That was interesting.
Yeah.
Amusing.
We'll get into that. And also Lindsey Graham. Did you see what he said? First, I think we ought to hit the phones here and see if we can get one of my friends. Well, I have plenty of friends, but this is one of the real good ones. CB Carl. Hey, how are you doing?
Hey, brother. How are you, man?
We're doing great. So,
I haven't talked to you in a while.
It's been a minute. Yeah. What you got for us?
Well, I wanted to give a shout-out to my fellow CBs out there. Tomorrow is our 80th birthday.
All right.
1942, we were formed to, they needed skilled construction men over there in the Pacific because the Japanese kept shooting them.
Yeah.
And we did the right thing. Our nation usually does the right thing. And they went and armed the construction guys, so they brought them home, put them in combat training, and sent them back out, and there we were.
Wow, so that's the beginning of the CB. Are you all trained in Mississippi?
There's a home port in Mississippi. That's where I was home ported.
Right.
NMCB-1 out of Gulfport, Mississippi. There's a home port in Gulfport, and there's a home port in Port Hueneme. Our initial combat training was at Camp Shelby in Mississippi.
Okay.
CB Carl, did you hear yesterday Sean Sullivan on Midday Mobile had Sheriff's Office Captain Paul Birch on? He also was a CB. Did you know that?
I heard some of it, but I didn't hear all of it.
Yeah. So,
right on.
80 tomorrow. That's the birthday.
80 years old, man. I guess the Air Force is the only ones younger than us, for, I guess, that Space Force.
Yeah, Space Force. I was about to bring it up. That's exactly right. Yeah. Well, thank you, CB.
If you Google the CB Memorial in Arlington Cemetery, there's a statue up there that says, with compassion we build, for peace with freedom we fight.
Wow.
All right, guys. I appreciate it, man. Hey, and I'm going to get back with you about that 100th birthday party. I mean, sending cards to my 100th birthday Marine buddy.
Well, you do a lot of good, Carl. We really appreciate it, man.
Thank you, Carl.
That's CB Carl. And 80 years tomorrow. I had no idea. The CB's birthday.
If you're in the area of Washington, D.C., don't miss out on the opportunity. It's right across the bridge from the Capitol area, Arlington National Cemetery. It is phenomenal.
That is one trip that I have not taken. I've been able to, fortunately travel and through a lot of the U.S., but a lot of those northeastern, I guess, D.C., not technically. It's northeastern.
Exactly. I mean, it's probably the southern tip of the northeast corridor, I guess you would say.
But so many of those old places that were founded around and before the Revolution, I just have not been. And I have to make it to the Capitol to go to Arlington and to see the mall and everything. But
it's incredible.
But you listen to Jeff Poor, who lived in D.C. for a while. These last 2 years have not been the best time to get to D.C. if you're going to do the whole American tourist thing, because they've just had so many things locked down, either because of COVID or what they did at the Capitol for the riot last year made it difficult to...
It was deep into the spring, I think, when Jerry Carl would talk to us from D.C. and just say it's a different world up here, like coming back down. And, of course, we've had, then we had, was it Delta in July that waved on through so we were getting through... the virus, it seemed like, and living our lives, and in D.C., they were not.
But now they say we need to get back to normal.
Yeah.
The Biden administration saying things aren't going back to normal soon enough, but we can discuss that at another time because there's something a little more pressing, and that's what's going on the other side of the world.
So Alex Konikin is an entrepreneur and former banker. He posted a bounty on social media as Russia enters a full week of military action against the neighboring country, Ukraine. He has put a bounty of $1 million for any military officer who apprehends Russian President Vladimir Putin, dead or alive, for committing war crimes in his invasion of Ukraine. Yesterday, what a war crime that was. I mean, bombing
a site where a nuclear reactor is?
Mm-hmm. Multiple reactors. Yeah.
Unreal. So he said on Tuesday, Putin is a war criminal under Russian and international laws. As an ethnic Russian and a Russia citizen, I see it as my moral duty to facilitate the denazification of Russia. Anyway, he says, somebody please eliminate Putin. He's a businessman. He lives now in California. I guess he's also a citizen of Russia.
And, you know, we have to be, and I'm not, you know, I'm not trying to go against the grain just to go against the grain, but so many things, even in this day and age, you know, with so much more access with phones and social mm-hmm. media, it's almost like we've never been less clear on what exactly is happening. Because so many, like, with that bombing of the nuclear reactor, that spurred on Zelensky and others for the U.S. to be even more involved. Mm-hmm. They're like, "What? You can't just let this stand. They're mm-hmm. bombing Europe's largest nuclear reactors facility." And if you think about it a little bit, and I know there are, you know, really good journalists on the ground, and there are people that you could take their word.
And brave journalists, those guys that are over there right now.
But wouldn't it make sense for Zelensky and these Ukrainians who are fighting for their lives and doing a dang good job of it by all accounts, wouldn't it make sense for them to make it look like things are escalating from the Russian side so that maybe they could draw? I'm not saying that the Russians didn't do that. Every report says that it was the Russians that were doing that, but
They're happy to report it, is what you're saying, because it's going to
help them.
But
right?
What until you know? Again, I'm just telling y'all, not the geopolitical expert here. But until a NATO country is involved, what can we actually do other than get aid and weapons to Ukraine? I mean, what our hands are kind of tied, aren't they? You can try to draw us in any way you want. But you've got the European Union, and you've got NATO, and you've got individual countries. The countries are trying to do what they can. It seems like they've been spurred into action, Germany included, Switzerland remarkably included. But otherwise, what can be done until a NATO country is breached?
Well, that's a great question. What would be considered a bad enough offense that even if it happens within Ukraine, that NATO feels like they have the right to move in? Would if that had turned into a Chernobyl situation, or what some were saying, 10 times the situation that they had in Chernobyl with that plant, would that have been enough to spur, you know, action, real military action? And you would hope not. But it seems that a lot of our leaders here are really starting to escalate things. I mean, you
talk about Lindsey Graham.
Yeah. So Lindsey Graham yesterday.
Well, we talked about the governor, our own governor, by the way.
Yeah. What Kay Ivey had to say. But this was what Lindsey Graham, a notorious hawk in D.C., had to say. He tweeted, in reference, I believe this was in reference to the nuclear plant shelling that was happening. Lindsey says, "Is there a Brutus in Russia? Is there a more successful Colonel Stauffenberg in the Russian military? The only way this ends is for somebody in Russia to take this guy out. You would be doing your country and the world a great service." And Lindsey Graham, not the only one who's been calling for more or less the assassination of Putin.
The elimination of, right.
And while, you know, that sounds like something that I would say, right? Sounds like something that someone who doesn't have the power that Lindsey Graham has would say. But once
a couple of guys at the end of the bar.
Exactly.
Just kicking it around a little bit. But Lindsey Graham, of course, a big political figure in this country.
Yeah, and I don't have a problem with anyone who wants to say, you know, mm-hmm. we'd all be better off if Putin was room temp. But Graham saying it really escalates things. I mean, you can imagine, and we've seen it with Iran, death to America, and the Russians have said a lot of things over the years, but just having a sitting senator say it's time for someone to assassinate this sitting president, even if there's this war going on in Ukraine, that I think escalates things to a point where a lot of Americans probably aren't comfortable with that. And when will, you know, it seems like a lot of actions are being made again at the executive level. When will Congress, and I don't know, you know, Congress is supposed to, in order for a war to be legally, you know, fought, Congress has to approve it. Well, we've seen Congress is doing less and less these days.
Yep.
And I don't know. Why aren't we seeing more? They're talking about not buying Russian gas. Pelosi had to say stuff like that, but it just doesn't seem like Congress is doing much more than just tweeting things like Lindsey Graham.
Really on the sidelines. I agree with that. 830 FM Talk 106.5. Dan and Dalton, Mobile Mornings. Jeff Poor Show starts at 9.
.835 on Mobile Mornings. This is a Friday. Right now it's time to head to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, we're doing great and looking forward to the weekend. And I know you are as well at McConnell. It's going to be a nice one out there. So a good time to stroll the lot, maybe.
That's right. We're going to be here all weekend long. And we got a lot of new cars coming in. And you check all the pictures out on the website at McConnellAutomotive.com. And if you got any questions on anything, give them a call, 251-476-4141. Just ask for the used car department or the new car department. They can tell you what all the new stuff we got coming in. And we're buying stuff every day. So y'all just check all the new stuff out and or stop by the lot, see us, say hi, tell us you heard us on the radio, and we'll rock and roll.
Hey, speaking of new, you got some new services there at McConnell.
That's right. We got the car wash being installed right now. We got the floors of the new car department, the used car department being installed. And, I mean, it's just, we've got all kinds of stuff going on here.
Good stuff. Hey, Louie, we appreciate your time.
Thank you. Come see us.
All right. Louie Arata. You'll find him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
836 FM Talk 106.5, Dan and Dalton. You see that Macron from France had a phone conversation with Putin, left an impression on him. Russian President Vladimir Putin called French President Emmanuel Macron yesterday in what appeared to have been a more tense exchange in previous conversations between the two leaders. Your country will pay dearly because it will end up as an isolated country, weakened and under sanctions for a very long time, Macron told Putin, according to a French official who added that Macron called on Vladimir Putin not to lie to himself. Like, here's the truth, man. So he's given Putin a little truth serum, evidently. So the conversation, again, according to the guy that was in the room, this is ratcheted up a little more tense than the last time they talked. The conversation, which the French presidency said was initiated by Putin, came as Ukrainian officials were set to hold talks with a Russian delegation, according to Russian and Ukraine officials. But based on the two leaders' exchange, there was no indication on Thursday that a diplomatic solution could be in sight, according to French officials. You've also got Zelensky saying, hey, I don't bite. Let's get together. Let's talk. No reply from Putin on that. But Zelensky's saying that he appreciates the world's attention. He appreciates the world's support.
Does he appreciate the billions and billions of dollars of weapons that are installed there now? I'm sure he does.
He does. He just says that everybody moved a little bit late.
Yeah.
And so he was not trying to throw Biden necessarily under the bus. The question is not about Biden, Zelensky said. It's more about indecisiveness of the world. So anyway, that's not the latest from Ukraine, because we're trying to keep up with it moment to moment.
And this has created another refugee crisis for Europe.
You know, big time.
They say over a million have left Ukraine already, and they're thinking 5 million maybe. And also they're saying that the rest of Europe wasn't as prepared for this to happen, even with the U.S. saying they've known for a long time
when this invasion was
supposed to happen.
Yeah.
Pretty split on the text line, just like it's been since the beginning of this invasion. Terry says, still not our war. Dave says, Vladimir Putin is an enemy of the world and represents a clear and present danger to the security of the planet. Also, Dave with some info here. He says, the president gets 60 days under the War Powers Act, when I was talking about Congress's lack of action. Dave says, it stipulates the president must notify Congress within 48 hours of military action and prohibits armed forces from remaining for more than 60 days. He continued, he can just redo that mission every 50 days or so. It's a huge loophole. Congress likes it. They don't get blamed come election time. They want it this way, too. You also have Pete, who says, why did we liberate Kuwait? How is Putin different from Saddam Hussein. I guess just initially, I would say we do know that Putin has WMDs and could do a lot of damage, but that was obviously the reasoning given for moving in on Iraq. Gus says Lindsey Graham is so peculiar, as we talked about his tweet from yesterday. You know, he doesn't necessarily strike you as the most, how would I say?
Careful.
You know, badass. He doesn't seem like he's...
you came up with that term out of nowhere.
He doesn't seem like he's a guy that would, you know, punch you in the mouth if you said the wrong thing to him. But but when it comes to wars, Lindsey Graham is always ready.
Lindsey Graham since the 90s has been pretty hawkish, right? Am I right about that?
Yes. Yeah, okay. I would say so.
All right.
Terry says Governor Ivey announces the ban of the sale of Russian dressing in Alabama and the closing of all Russian tea rooms. Yeah. Now, anything that says RUSSIA spelled in any form or fashion, it's gone. What Governor Ivey did say yesterday is, I think, and maybe someone out there can find a quote from Ivey from years past, but I think this is probably the slickest line I've ever heard her say or tweet. So, okay, I understand. Probably someone in her office wrote this line.
Right.
I don't think Ivy came off the top of her head with this one, but
I've got it now.
With the news that the Lockheed Martin built Javelin missiles are headed to Ukraine to assist in the fight. Those actually are built in Troy, Alabama. And Governor Ivy taking note of that and tweeting, "We want the last thing Putin ever reads to be, quote, made in Alabama," which... It's a pretty good line.
Not bad.
Pretty good line.
Not bad.
Trying to think of how, you know, some other really good lines that Ivy could say if Putin were to, you know, someone said, I think it was David, yippee-ki-yay and bless your heart.
That's perfect,
Putin.
Right there.
So what are some good action movie lines that the governor might say? I was surprised. I think that's a pretty slick line.
I agree.
He'd have to read very quickly in order to read a Javelin missile that's headed for him.
You put it out there, and I don't think we've gotten anything on the text line as people are playing the Dalton game of the day.
Oh, we've gotten quite a few texts.
I know, but they're none better than that.
No.
So I think the governor aced her test there.
I guess so. Let's see. Bob says, does this mean I can't eat the Russian Revolution sushi roll until the war is over? You know? I haven't seen that sushi roll on the menu, the Russian Revolution. That's probably like whale caviar or something in there. That's what they like up there. Beluga, right? That's what they have in Russia.
You want to talk to Dave?
Let's talk with Dave.
He's on the phone right now.
Hey, Dave.
Hi, how are you doing?
We're doing all right. Fine, man. How about you?
Well, I'm doing okay. I just wanted to say I enjoyed listening to your show, but the correct terminology would not be to throw Biden under the bus. It would be to throw Biden under the tank.
Mm-hmm.
And in this particular situation. But I think that we really need to start taking a lot more serious on what we're doing as a country. And the reason I say this is I don't think that the basically half injunctions or sanctions are going to work. You know, obviously Russia's main export is gas and oil. As long as we ignore that, you know, it's just theoretical.
Futile.
It's not going to work.
Yeah,
right.
But the problem that we really have is we've set a really bad precedent in Afghanistan, and you have some men who really don't care what you think. And I want to tell you a very quick story.
Sure.
In 1940, when Germany invaded Poland, the British and French sent bombers over Germany dropping leaflets talking about how bad Hitler was. A few weeks later, Hitler sent bombers over London. But they weren't dropping leaflets.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to remember that, because Vladimir Putin, I guarantee you, could tell that story a lot more effectively than I can.
Yeah.
We have some serious problems here, and we need to really address them.
Dave, I appreciate that call.
And Dave, I think you're spot on with the Afghanistan debacle. I think has led to most of the, well, I don't know if it's that easy. I don't think it's that cut and dry. But the Afghanistan debacle certainly didn't help the Biden administration with any future act of war that they would like to, you know, take part in. After seeing our forces, you know, basically in the Middle East for 20 years,
that was so sad.
And even if it had been a more successful withdrawal, I think there would be a totally different kind of prism that people are viewing any military action through. But that just went so poorly, and we were there for so long.
Poorly and publicly. And it was reported on. It was a world. It was the world story, and it looked so bad, and it was so egregious the way things were handled there, leaving everything behind, turning over the turning over that base that was so vital to us, leaving the people that helped us behind, leaving some Christian ministers or missionaries behind. It was so bad. Everybody saw it. And you think about this. This was in place for 4 months or so. It wasn't shortly thereafter that Putin began to plan this.
Yeah.
And I would have to say one is definitely involved with the other. What happened in Afghanistan, no doubt, led to Putin making this decision.
I wholeheartedly agree. I think he sees that the American people don't have the stomach for it right now. But what I also find interesting, and I'm seeing a lot of texts from a lot of you who for the last 2 years, 2.5 years, have been telling me and telling everyone to not believe a word out of this administration's mouth. Or the Democrats' mouth because of this whole COVID situation, and that everything is a lie, and that that they're just trying to control everyone. But then a war pops off in Eastern Europe, and people who just a month ago, 2 months ago, who were calling for Biden to be removed from office seem like they're agreeing with every single thing the administration has to say. Mm-hmm. I just kind of find that peculiar, because a lot of the same media that you were saying not to believe for the last several years, you now believe them wholeheartedly with a lot of this stuff. And I'm not saying that they're putting out infactual information. It's just when there are lives on the line, and when there's the emotion that is wrapped up in something like this, and that the media is able to, you know, get all these views because everyone wants to know what's going to happen next. My point is that it's funny how things work, right?
Yeah, and when you talk about emotion, we've dealt with as much emotion as we have with fact over this past couple of years since my foray into this lovely place, FM Talk 106.5. It is 846 Brooks Conkle, and what's going on in Mobile this weekend? That's on the way. Thank you, Kane. 851 FM Talk 106.5 with Dan and Dalton, Mobile Mornings. The week has come and gone.
It has.
Amazingly.
And quickly, yeah. Everyone, are you recovered from Mardi Gras yet? That's the big question.
I didn't overdo Mardi Gras, so I'm okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even Fat Tuesday itself, I was down there for about 2 hours and saw it. So I could report on it.
Well, you look fresh. I'll say that much.
Fresh as a daisy. I'll tell you who's always fresh as a daisy on Fridays. It's Brooks Conkle, with the Mobile Rundown, and he lets us know what's going on around in and around town the weekend or the week to come as well. Brooks, good morning to you.
Morning. I'm glad both you guys survived.
We did.
Yeah, pretty successful Mardi Gras, wouldn't you say, Brooks?
I think so. I think it was awesome. I think everyone was excited to have it after last year's hiatus, right?
And
right.
What weather we had, especially on Fat Tuesday, man. You couldn't beat that.
Dalton, it was amazing. It was beautiful. Beautiful day.
We were also in the parade on Saturday. That was fun. We had good weather, right?
Yeah, the floral parade.
Yeah.
That was perfect. Brooks, you didn't get knocked out with any bags of beads or anything, did you, during the...
I did not, but I will say, at parades, that is... I am always on the defensive for bags of beads. Bags of beads scare me, and so I'm always aware.
You're a better man than I am to go ahead and admit that on the air. That you're,
yeah.
So what's that's in the past. What do we have coming up, Brooks?
Yeah, sure. So there's this weekend's slower. Next weekend's bigger stuff, but there's interesting stuff. So if you want to support Satsuma, they've got a thing called Satsuma Swamp Fest, which is tomorrow, which is a community event. It's got some car show, food, entertainment. That sounds pretty fun, actually. And then coming up in the week, there's a recital for the USA faculty. They put on these recitals out there at USA, at the Laidlaw Performing Arts Center.
Yep.
And they do a number of those, and those seem pretty cool. So if you like some music and want to hear them, that's on Wednesday. And then some other large events next weekend is the Festival of Flowers and Chili Cook-Off coming up. So Festival of Flowers is the 11th through the 13th, and it's in downtown. So it's in Cathedral Square. I think they started doing it there kind of recently, and so they obviously liked it. So
Where is the and where the chili cook-off? It seems like we just had it because we had one.
Exactly. We talked about that last time. I think they were carrying forward maybe the one that got canceled, right. And then so it's like this one's right around the corner as well. So it's on the 12th, March 12th, and so I think the one that they recently had was from the previous one that probably got delayed and postponed, and then so boom, it's like it's right around the corner again.
Yes, so that'll be next Saturday, and that's
exactly
we'll be in the boat show. We'll have the van there. That's not the first time that the chili cook-off has happened downtown, and then folks are able to kind of walk over to the boat show. That day, I generally try to avoid walking behind anyone if they came from downtown,
of course,
came from the chili cook-off.
Well, we also, Brooks, we had it this past fall. It was at a different location. It was on Canal Street. They kind of blocked off the street, Canal near Broad, I guess. It was a great location. So where is it this year?
Exactly. Yeah, it looks like it's going to be right back there again.
Okay.
So I think they must have had a good experience having it there as well.
You got to check that out, Dalton. It's like a street party. They have a different and it's in a different location. That'd be a pretty good hike from there to the to the boat show, but I think you can make it.
I think so. Also, we love our 5Ks down here. I saw this while I was browsing the mobilerundown.com. We had that 5K. Was that Joe Kane Day that they did the 5K before? And then
that was on Joe Kane. So they do those guys do that run every year on Joe Kane Day, on Joe Kane Sunday. I think it's like 8 a.m. or something on that Sunday morning. So
and then an
interesting way to start the day.
And so another one coming up on Saturday the 12th, and this one seems like it's for a great cause. It's in memory of Justin Hasty, benefiting the Wounded Warrior Project, the Semper Fi Fund, and America's Fund. So that's coming up next Saturday the 12th. At 11 a.m. So if you can knock that out and then do the chili cook-off, and you're having yourself a pretty good Saturday.
You are,
exactly.
And then boats.
You can have a crazy day.
Let everybody know what to do about trying to find the rundown and trying to get to an event on the Mobile Rundown.
Sure. Yeah, so if they hop over to our website, themobilerundown.com, they can submit events to us. So people submit their events to us, and then we're always looking on the web and seeing what's happening as well. People can definitely ping their events to us.
Definitely a resource, Brooks. Thanks a bunch.
All right, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Brooks. Looking at the rest of the day for us here at FM Talk 106.5, Sean Sullivan at noon. I've been looking forward to hearing from our former Congressman Bradley Byrne and his take on a lot of the current events, especially since the Russian invasion began a week ago. So Sean will have former Congressman Byrne on at noon today on Midday Mobile. So you don't want to miss that discussion.
That's a good conversation right there.
Should be really good. Before that, the Jeff Poor Show starts here in just a few minutes. He'll have on former Congressman Parker Griffith in the first hour. That's the official response, right? The official Democrat response.
Right.
Then in the 10 o'clock hour, the usual Friday guest, April Marie Fogle from News Talk 93.1. Then at 11, State Senator Larry Stutz, and that leads into State Senator Chris Elliott, the Friday usual guest there for the Jeff Poor Show. It'll be interesting hearing his conversation with Larry Stutz as well, the state senator, because I believe, let me see if I can find the story here. So Stutz has filed his own bill here in Montgomery that would limit the 2019 gas tax, which a lot of people talk about, and the 2021 medical marijuana law. His State Senate Bill 277, it would, the tax beginning in 2023, that 10-cent gas tax, could rise or fall 1 cent every 2 years. And Stutz, who voted against the Rebuild Alabama Act 3 years ago, leaves the 10-cent increase in tax intact. So looks like he's trying to limit that in a way, but also limit the medical marijuana bill. He says that just as we instruct women to avoid alcohol and drugs during pregnancy, it's important to the health of a child for their mother to abstain from the use of cannabis. So he's mandating that every woman of childbearing age obtain a negative pregnancy test before they're able to order that medical marijuana. That's part of the bill.
Okay. Gas as much as $5 a gallon now in the San Francisco area.
Woo.
I think we're still around 3:30 to 3:45. Jeff Poor Show on the way next.